Okay, our scripture reading this morning is taken from 2 Timothy, 3:1-5. And I'm reading out of the King James Version of the Bible. When you get it, say amen. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. For such turn away.
I would like to thank y'all for the music this morning. And the Lord and I is going to talk a little while today. One of these days, God will no longer, I know nothing to prevent the coming of the Lord at any moment. It's going to be as it was in the day of Noah. God postponed the flood to give people time to get ready. Just as today, God has given us time to get ready to meet him when he returns again. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are just thankful this morning that you blessed each one of us to be here. We pray for your Holy Spirit and your guidance today, Lord. Bless each one. They will receive a blessing today. And bless me as I present your holy word. In Jesus' name, I ask it all. Amen. We talk about perilous times. Perilous time will come. Perilous times are already here. We see them every day when we watch the news. It's like, because the unbelievers world will soon have something to think about besides their dresses and their appearances and their minds torn from these things by distress and perplex. Because man's hearts will be failing him for fear. And if we see today that even the young people's having heart attacks, something that we never seen before, because the stress has come upon us. They have not made God their refuge. He will not be their consolator then, but will laugh at their calamities. God's word said they have sown the wind, but they must reap the whirlwind. And they come on down to tell us, says, every Christian will be tempted one way or the other. Because as you begin to do God's work, the devil is going to have his say. He's going to tempt you one way or another. And sometimes it can be a lesson, a hard lesson. So, but when Jesus was here on earth, he went about doing the work his Father had sent him. And then the day was far spent. His disciples came unto him and said, that they may go into the country around about and to the village and buy them bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, they say unto him, shall we go? And he said, yes. He said, we have many loaves, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he told them to sit down in companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks and hundreds and fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up into heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before them into fishes, divided amongst them all. Did they eat, and they all were filled. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. And Jesus looked up to God from heaven and blessed them. Who could perform a miracle like this but God? God is able to do anything. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, and feed 5,000 people. No one else has the power to do this. And Jesus went about healing all manner of diseases and all manner of sick. The deaf were able to hear. The blind were able to see. He went about all through Galilee, and the crowd followed him and praising him. And it came to pass when he went to Jerusalem, as he passed in the midst of Samaria and Galilee, in the village, he met 10 lepers, and he healed them all. And out of 10, only one came back and fell at his feet and praised him. The other 9 went on their way. Because you know, when we need God, we pray a prayer we never prayed in our life. We can really pray when we're in trouble. And only one come back, praise God for what he had done. The rest of them were healed. They figured they don't need the Lord anymore. And you know, so many times this happened to us. Because we can get on knees and pray a long time when we want something. And when we get it, business as usual. There was a time came when Jesus, to go back to heaven, Jesus said, I leave with you the Holy Spirit to guide you in all truth. And in John 14:1-3, he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, that ye may be also. And that's the day that we all are looking for. And we're going to Matthew, the 24th chapter now. Start at verse 3. So as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the signs of thy coming and of the end of the world? Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And today we know we meet all kind of people talking about the Lord, false prophets. And he shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. For nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All of these things are the beginning of sorrow. And as you look each day at the news, you see earthquakes, landslides, and you see all kind of turmoil that's happening today that we've never seen before. Even though we see big as an airplane is, just disappeared. Nobody knows what happened to it, can't find it, and a lot of souls are lost. And there are so many things that's happening in this world today to tell us to get ready because the Lord is coming soon. These are just signs of some of the things that happen. Then they shall deliver you up to be affected and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another. And who are you talking about? We are talking about Christian peoples, because the devil don't have to worry about the ones he already have. A lot of us will be betrayed at the end, and many false prophets shall rise and deceive many, because the iniquity shall abound, and the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And he said the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world for a witness, and then the end gonna come. And as we know that at that day, it won't be no excuse for people say they don't know about Jesus, because the message is going out all over the world today to peoples on the television, and they are telling people that Jesus is going to soon come. Christ is saying those who believe in them will lose the sight of God. Jesus also foretold the turmoil would arise between nations. And as we see today, all of these turmoil and wars on every hand, people want to fight. It's just something. Looking at Russia over there, they have a big thing going. We don't know what's going to happen with that. But it goes on to say that brother will turn against brother, and sister against sister, and parents against the children, and the children against the parents. And the one that you love the most will turn their back on you. When time gets tight, and this is the time that we all need to be close together. And the question was asked, what will the world be doing when Christ comes? As it was in the day of Noah's word, so also the coming of the Son of Man be, for it is in that day that the world, before the Lord, they were silent, they were drinking, they were married, and they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the Lord came and took them all away. So shall also it be in the coming of the Son of Man be. Likewise also in the day of Lot's, it was the day of Lot's, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. As we know, when Noah was preaching 120 years that God told him to build an ark, told him just how to build it, what to build it out, and everything. And Noah obeyed God. And when the people would, you could hear the people could be laughing at him, it never rained, you know, and they don't think nothing's going to happen. But one day when Noah and his family went in the ark and the door was closed, and then it began to rain and the water began to get high. Well, you know, the people want to get in the ark now, but it's just too late. And this is what's going to happen before the Lord come back this time. And says, when Lot's day, the angel came in to Lot to leave the city. Lot took his wife and his two daughters and left the city. And his wife had to look back one more time at that city. And she turned to a block of salt. This is telling that God means what he said. When he said something, he means it. Said, when men are saved, actually, when are they saved to be like Jesus? Said, beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not appear what we shall be, but we shall be like him when he appear. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That in John 3 and verse 2. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and there shall be rewarded every man according to his work. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. That is Revelation 22:12. Said, to whom is salvation promised at Christ's appearance? So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this blessed hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Paul goes on to say that, to whom is a crown of righteousness promised? He said, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is a crown laid up for me, a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to be me only, but unto all of them that love his appearance. And we are looking for that blessed day when Jesus shall come and we put our crown on. Because we won't be so glad when we get to heaven that day with our crown that he has promised us. We have waited for so long. Because so many things in this world happen to you and distract you from getting that crown. Because the devil is out there to disencourage you on every end. But Jesus is going to return one day, and we're going to go home with them, and we're going to be happy. Praise God. Then we're going to look up in the great city, as John described, 12 foundations and 12 gates, 3 on each side, and an angel at each gate. And there I saw most glorious houses that had from the appearance of silver, supported by 4 pillars set, and the pearl most glorious to behold. These were to be inhabited by the saints. And who were the saints we're talking about? The ones who've been waiting for God all this time and made it in. And that's going to be a glorious day. And each was a gold shelf. I saw many of the saints going through the house, take off that glittering crown and lay them on the shelf. And I saw another field full of all kinds of flowers. As I plucked them, I cried out, they will never fade. Next, I saw a field of tall grass, most glorious. Behold, it was living green and had a reflection of silver and gold, as it waved proudly of the glory of the King Jesus. The King Jesus, who we've been looking for so many years, and we want to see him when he comes. And then he enters a field full of all kind of beasts, the lion, the lamb, the leopard, and the wolf, all together in peace and union. We passed through the midst of them, and they followed on peacefully after us. Now, you know, a lion is a ferocious beast, but when you get to heaven, the lion, they're all going to be together. It ain't going to be no harm in them. You know, that's going to be something. If you was out in the forest now and you're a lion, you'd be running, trying to get out of the way. But they're going to be following right behind you peacefully, because God is able to tame everything. You know, he's just able to do all of these good things. And we're going to be waiting for him at that day. And in that day, we shall be said, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We shall be glad and rejoice in his salvation. But in that day, an hour, no one, not even the angels of heaven, know when Jesus is going to come. Now, if the angels in heaven don't know when the Lord is going to come, why do we have a Bible trying to figure out what day the Lord is going to come? I remember it was in 2000, they were saying that the Lord is going to come tonight. So I said, well, I'm going to pray and go into sleep. If he come, he's going to wake me up. Because we do know that when he come, he will not be silent. He said, because the sea going to give up the dead. People who've been gone a long time, the sea going to give up the dead. So why am I going to stay up all night looking when God says, no one know when I'm going to come? But people had it down pat. The one guy says, someone questioned him. So, well, what did you buy? He said, I bought 6 generators. But he's still teaching the Lord is going to come tonight. So now what do you need with anything? You don't need nothing if God is going to come. So, but how did Christ himself say he would come? For the Son of Man cometh in the glory of his Father and with his angels. Then shall all the tribes of the earth moan, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, and every eye shall see me. So people won't have no excuse. When you come up in the first resurrection, we're going to see precious Jesus. And we're going to, the ones who are waiting for him, it's going to be beautiful. We're going to see him as he is. We're going to, the one that even pierced him, we're going to see him. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We're talking about the ones who are waiting, faithful all these years, going to be waiting for him. And say, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be? Said, but the dead and the living. So when then which we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Also we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in the moment of a twinkle of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be risen incorruptible, and put on the corruptible, incorruptible. And God is going to be there waiting for us. And this mortal must put on immortality, because we can't go to heaven like we is now. We got to be changed. There's no way that we can get to heaven like we is now. So we're going to meet Jesus one of these days. Said, well, Christ was once to offer to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sins unto salvation, shall say to them on the right hand, come, ye my blessed, Father, inherited the earth. We be sitting on the right hand side of Jesus, because one day you're going to be the made it in, and it's going to be a happy day, and it ain't going to be no more tears shed. It ain't going to be no more bottles to get out the cabinet to take before you get up in the morning, because all of these things going to be passed away, and we're going to be home with Jesus forever. And we're going to be with him, because you ain't going to need no light, because Jesus is going to be the light. And we're going to be there with him to praise him. And you know, we're going, the one that waited for Jesus all these years, they deserve that, to go to the holy city, where there ain't going to be no more crying, and there ain't going to be no more sadness, and we won't be sorrow no more. And it's going to be a day that we never had to go to another funeral, because everything going to be all over. And we're waiting for that day for the precious Jesus to come. And just hold on a little longer, because he didn't bring us here to leave us. He brought us here to keep us and prepare us to go home with him. And we're waiting for that precious day. And I'll be so glad one day when I be on the right hand side of Jesus and see the ones I went to church with sitting over there. That's going to be a beautiful day. And we're just going to give him thanks. And thank you, Jesus, for everything you brought us through. So just hold on just a little bit longer, and everything going to be all right. Our Father in heaven, we just thank you for all that you do for us. Continue to bless us and be merciful to us. Bless each one of us as we leave this place, to guide us safely, and bless the ones who are staying. Bless the ones who are coming back today. Give them all safe travel. In Jesus' name I ask, Lord. Amen.